is the basic science group. It's going to meet from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Individually. And on Wednesday, June 10th, the basic science group and the clinical group will meet from 8:30 to 2 p.m. So you can schedule your flights after that. And then some of you may be staying over for the PASS meeting, and Jill knows all about that. So, and, now the question is, for this basic science meeting, what would you like as an agenda item? We had talked about bringing in people for biomarkers as one possibility, and it, do you still want to try to do that?
Has Charlie gotten an update on the proposal he was putting together?
You know, Charlie was said that he was going to send a update to me sometime later today. But I haven't, I mean, it's not here, so I don't know. I know that they've made some progress in tissue banking, but I don't know how he did with on the biomarkers. So, but rather than have people just present their progress, I think I'd rather get into more discussion and just make the PowerPoint progress reports available for everybody to review before the meetings, rather than just have brief presentations. You know, maybe just have 10-15 minute updates on each of the projects, and then kind of discuss some of the more relevant issues about where we want to try to go and who else we want to try to get involved. Now, we also talked about inviting people. I talked to Medina from VCU, and he's more than willing to come to the meeting, and he would like to get involved. So if that's your pleasure, I could invite him.
What's his background? What does he do?
Michael,
Alex uses the ferret as a model, and he studies the effects of prenatal alcohol exposure on the visual system, and he uses various post-insult interventions that appear to restore neural circuitry that he's able to study. He uses a variety of sophisticated ways of studying neural circuits, including optical imaging.
Yeah, he has a very nice optical imaging system in the ferret visual system. And, I mean, I've seen it. It's very impressive. He would definitely be interested in a developmental project on this. So he was the one person who I've been in touch with who about coming, the possibility of coming to CFAS. And he's close enough, so it's not an issue. So, you know, I just want to try to get an idea of what people would like to cover at this meeting. You know, in the past, we've kind of just reviewed our progress, and I think it's time that we moved on and tried to decide on where we're going, how we can analyze all the data that we're collecting. The other thing that we had discussed was inviting people in for imaging. We discussed this on a clinical conference call and decided that that might be best held off until the next meeting because of the joint clinical or the joint CFAS PASS project meeting this time. I hope I'm making sense. It's early here. So is there any, I mean, do you think it would be a good idea to invite Alex and maybe the other person with Cynthia Baer?
I think Alex and Cynthia would be good to have there, and Cynthia certainly could provide us with a state-of-the-art update on biomarkers. That's of interest of hers.
All right, so why don't we, I'll invite Alex as a guest, and we'll invite Cynthia to kind of present an update on the biomarkers, since that's an issue that we really want to go forth on, even in the clinical group as well. All right, and so we'll make up an agenda for the meeting. We'll try to limit our updates on progress to, you know, 15 minutes. People's PowerPoint progress reports are due to me on the, by the 21st, and then they'll be made available on the website. I could also make those into a PDF file and send those out to everybody before the meeting, so that people have an idea of where individual projects are at this time point without us spending a great amount of time at the meeting discussing those, going over them. So does that make sense?
It does. Was finding ways to look across species and across developmental times when the developmental periods were different, gestational periods were different, to help us find landmarks in space and time for comparing across species and the different studies that we're doing. And I wonder, I know we didn't want to do too much on the imaging stuff, but if there's somebody with that expertise who could help us think through this a little bit.
Yeah. Kathy, I think you had suggested, was it John Gilmore?
I had suggested that John come and tell us about his progress with looking at the developing human brain with MRI. Give us some sort of ideas. But I was at that Northern California SOT meeting.
Right.
Someone mentioned a website that is really sort of cool. It's called Translating Time. Across, and so look up, if you're at a computer right now, look up www.translatingtime.net.
Yeah, that was Chip Voorhees.
Yeah, which is very cool. And so it focuses a lot on translating neurodevelopmental time across mammalian species. There's a button on that front page for that.
That sounds great.
So
I'm there right now.
Yeah, so if you push that button, you can go to various species. You can pick a species and translate it to another species. And then it, like, if you pick from mouse to human, and then go to your, I don't know exactly how to do it, I haven't.
Mouse to human, okay.
Okay, so you got your two species, and I don't know.
Mouse to human, okay.
See if you can figure out how to use it.
Okay, post-conception.
I just put in.
Translate.
All right, 17 days post-conception in the mouse neurodevelopment equates to human neurodevelopment at 100.9 post-conception days for cortical events, 73 days for limbic events, and 79 days for non-cortical limbic events.
I mean, that sounds great. Can someone send the link? I'm not near a computer now.
Yep.
Just send it out to everybody.
I just sent it.
Oh, God. That
would be great.
Good. All right. Yeah, that certainly does brain. I put this together, but it's really. There's a lot of noise in the background.
Let me mute. Hold on.
That's all right.
I like the way it gives the species to Radicus.
Hey, Kathy, how sure are we that the website has got the right information here?
Well, I don't know. I guess, you know, I don't know. I don't even know who put this together. Chip, as Ed mentioned, Chip Voorhees is the one who made us aware of this at this just a month or so ago. I don't know how long it's been up or who's used it or whatever. Let's see the home page.
It says on the contributors, Barbara Clancy, from the University of Central Arkansas, and Barbara Finley and Richard Darlington from
Cornell. Yeah. Yeah. So maybe we could think about inviting one of them. I mean, they've spent a lot of time putting this together.
Well, since they have
talked about doing it, makes sense.
Pardon, Jim?
Well, when you've talked about doing something like this in terms of trying to be able to go cross species with this, Michael did, and if that's the case, having somebody who could explain this would make a lot of sense, because if it's accurate, it can be very important. If it's not, then it can be worse than not having any.
Well, I mean, if you go, I just clicked on their tables, and I mean, they have 95% confidence intervals for all this stuff, and for a tremendous number of events.
Yeah.
I mean, right here, they have 102 developmental points. Fornix appears, peak of neurogenesis, CA1 peak of neurogenesis, and they provide, you know, ranges, 95% confidence intervals for all of them. So, all right, so, I mean, is that a possibility that we would want to contact one of the contributors to this and ask them to come?
I think it would be nice. I think it might, rather than just giving everybody a website and saying, here, play with this, I think if they're actually there showing it to us and telling us how they, you know, put it together and how they're going to keep it together and keep adding things to it in the future, I think it would stick it in people's minds so you'll remember to go back and use it.
Jill, could you have Olivia do a PubMed search on the three contacts?
Hey, Ed.
Yeah.
Ed, on the front page of the website, it says if you want to cite this website, please click here. And when you open that up, it brings up six articles that they've written about this. And they've been published in Neuroinformatics, Neurotoxicology, Neuroscience, Developmental Science. And then it looks like two book chapters.
Okay.
It says it's based on mathematical modeling originally.
Yeah.
So anyway, whatever that means.
Okay. So, yeah, so it's the Finley-Darlington model that was published in Science in 1995.
Thanks to the security system that's been placed on my computer as a government computer, I can go to the home page and translate, but nowhere else. Brilliant.
Well, I don't know. What is there, little porno pictures in the back or something that they're worried you're going to watch? Oh, I don't know. But they said, it says, although we are confident the predictions and comparisons for neural events that are included in the database will be of value, we must also caution against overeager interpretations. So, all right. Well, let me look at them and then see if we can get them in. I mean, they're all on the East Coast, so might not be a problem. But I'd like to also just check and see what other papers they have had, so that if we can do a PubMed search on these people today, Jill, that would be great.
No problem.
All righty. All right, so we'll think about that, and all right, invite. All right, well, that would basically fill up our day for the meeting. All right, like I said, Charlie said he's going to provide a tissue bank progress report, but I don't have that yet. Any news on the sheep, Tim, and anything new there?
Well, we have animals. We have animals that are being generated. We've had animals born. Started making measurements. That's really about all the news, though.
And Dan and Jim, have Charlie and Fung gotten you anything on the strain differences in the substrains yet?
No, I don't think so.
All right. Jill, remind me to talk to both of them, and you know, because that's now about 2 months that we've said this, that we were going to do this, and I really want to get Jim and Dan's expertise on these strains and substrain differences. Kathy, do you have any more data on that?
I wish I could say Yes, but I can't. They decided they were going to move all of our animal colonies. So we have just gotten all of our mice resettled into a new home and are acclimatizing them. And as last time we talked, I said I thought I'd have the data by the end of this month, and now it looks like it's going to be the end of next month, and I apologize for that. But we do have some nice results from Fung did a group of mice of the Jackson mice. And put them on the liquid diet from day seven to 17. So we had basically the whole time period we're interested in, and took the mice out on day 17. We couldn't do MRI on these specimens for because of fixation issue, but we were able to the animals that he selected to send to us. There was we got a lot of defects in the alcohol-exposed animals that we could see from both just the visual glance at their faces. And this was in comparison to a pair-fed group that were basically the same size. The pair-fed group and the alcohol-fed group are smaller than the controls. But anyway, bottom line is we saw what we would have hoped to see, at least at a gross level, and so it bodes very well for doing the imaging study on that.
Okay. All right.
Hi, Ed. This is Charlie.
Hey, Charlie. How are you?
I got in a little early, so I thought I'd try to see if you were still on.
Yeah, we are, and it's you can update us on. I know that you're going to send me the tissue bank.
Right. We've had our conferences, and it's just a matter of me putting up the report to everyone, which I've been delayed in doing.
The other thing is that for the June meeting, we're going to try to invite Cynthia Baer to present an update on biomarkers. And do you think that's a reasonable thing to do?
I think it's fine. It would fit in well with what we're talking about anyway.
Okay. The other thing that we're going to do is invite Alex Medina and if we can get them, someone to talk about translating neural development between species, across species.
Mm-hmm.
Anything on the 3D photos with the sheep or anything?
No, I don't know that we're going to be able to pursue that. I'll have to talk with the imaging people again about that, but I haven't done anything since our last conference call on that.
Okay. All right. We were just kind of going through what the meeting, trying to set up an agenda for the June meeting, and the progress reports, the PowerPoint things, and Jill emailed everybody about those. So. Are there any other items that need to be addressed? And we have some things that I have to get for Jim and Dan, but
I just had a quick bookkeeping question. This is Andy.
Sure.
For the PowerPoints, are you looking for updates from January or from earlier than that?
I would probably at least go back to January before January when you wrote those other progress reports. But I wouldn't see any harm in this time presenting back to the start of the funding period.
Okay, thank you.
And we just make those available so people can see what's going on and any new data that people have. Any updates that you want to put on the web? Jennifer's not on today, but she's would like to have any new publications or updates.
Fung and I do have a publication in Acer that needs
right.
to be sent out.
Good job.
Which one is that, Charlie?
It's on the effects of NAP and SAL on the serotonin system development, predominantly serotonin system development.
Uh-huh, great.
Showing a protective effect there.
All right. Charlie, any updates on the projects you're involved in? Tim was telling us a little bit.
Is Tim cut on?
Yeah, I'm here, Charlie.
Oh, okay. Because I assume he's
he's going to be able to say more about the sheep than I will. I don't know. I wasn't able to make. Fung has a monthly meetings here on the mouse project, and I wasn't in town when he had his last one. So I don't know if he's on or not. But the one question that I had, and I was hoping to hear, is whether the collaborative work that he's been doing with Kathy, whether that's panned out anything.
Yeah, Kathy was just updating us that when you came on the phone.
I can get that separately from this phone call. I don't need to reiterate that.
Okay. Is there anything that anyone needs or any difficulties that anyone's facing that, this group can help them with or provide advice about? Boy, everything is just under control, huh?
Dr. Riley?
Yes.
This group like to have another conference call on June 3rd. That's the first Tuesday in June before the June meeting.
No.
I don't know. Do we need another conference call right before the meeting or just do the meeting?
I would say most of what we need to communicate a week before the meeting could be done by email.
Yeah.
By that time, anybody we might have invited will be on board or not be able to come.
Okay, so then the next time we'll see each other is in Washington. And unless there's other things, I mean, this is just kind of a catch-up call until we start integrating projects and see what that is. In terms of the clinical stuff, the dysmorphology database is getting renewed, and hopefully they promised me that to me by the end of the month. We'll see what happens there. I'm trying to think of what else was on the clinical end that made sense, but I guess that's it for the. That would be of interest to this group. So, any other information that needs to be exchanged here? All right, then. This is a quick call. Charlie, thanks for getting on.
I'm sorry, I was in the air though. So
not a problem. And Ken, I'll call you in maybe about an hour.
Okay.
All righty. Thank you, everybody.
Great.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.